This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, all getta to our Solomon Island listeners and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the number one place to get your Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island Coey dancing about, Tinirao Arona. You look pumped.
Kia ora, Sammy. I'm just pumped to be here. I am pumped to be here. It was a slow start to the morning.
You know, Speak for yourself, over
the weekend, Cook Islands lost both games.
Too much dancing, eh? What are you doing now?
They lost to Fiji, but we'll cover them games and the Pacific Championships during the show. We've also got Shelley Long back, and she will cover the women's footy. And we have another huge guest that we got to interview over in Suva, Fiji, the homeland of this man. He is the most capped Butty Fijian player with 24 games to his name. He's played for a number of NRL clubs, including the Knights, Panthers, Tigers, Roosters, and he's played for a couple teams over in UK as well. Over 232 games, professional games, we have Kevin Ngama.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. I loved his insights on what it meant to him to play for Fiji at the start of his career. And obviously at the back end of it now, what it means to him and his family, his people, and the legacy he wants to leave on his people.
A great human being, and I love the bloke. We actually got to play New South Wales Residents together in 2013, and it was one of my favourite games because we beat Queensland that day.
Yep.
So looking forward to this chat with Kevy.
Moment of the week.
Yes, Sammy, as you know, the Pacific Championships are held across Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, PNG. The one thing I love about watching these games is the starts. So you have the anthems, you see the passion in the players' eyes, some boys and women, the tears running down the faces, but then not long after the anthems come the haka, the sivitau, the be'e, and just that fierce warrior look of the players. I love watching it. It's a great way to display the nation's culture. But the sivitau that was held over in the UK over the weekend, geez, that was a fierce one. They know how to, you know, really go after it. But one thing I know about England, the England people, the England players, they also stand their ground. Now, we've seen overnight the Tor Samoa, they played England, and a few of the boys went face-to-face. We had Gordon Chan Kum Tong. He went head-to-head with one of the England boys, you know, almost headbutted him at the end of it, and he's screaming, "So, so!" And yeah. Then you've also got Francis Molo, who, when everyone left, you know, the Tor Samoa team players, they all left after the sivitau. He stood there in front of two England players. The England players didn't leave either, and they just locked heads until...
What, a standoff?
A standoff.
Bit of a Mexican standoff.
One of the reserve players, Jake Tungle, the brother of Isaac, he went and grabbed Francis. He goes, "All right, boys, let's go play some footy.
You know what I love about those moments as well? And it's always a running joke too, when if you don't get the win after those type of games.
You win the haka.
You know, you just go, "Oh, we didn't win the game. We'll win the haka or sivitau, sipitau." But is there no international laws around crossing a certain line? Like, because in rugby union, I'm pretty sure you can't cross the 40-meter line. Like you have to be on the 40-meter line of either halfway.
Yep,
and there's a fine.
I don't think there is in rugby league, but I know in New Zealand as well, you know, you don't cross the 40-meter line because, you know, as you've seen in the past, there's been some punch-ons.
Yeah, it has been.
And it actually brings up a good memory. If you look on YouTube, the Cook Islands versus New Zealand Maldives haka and then fight, there's actually a really old school footage of the two squads going at it.
Are you in that game?
And you'll see a young T on the side, not getting amongst it.
I was throwing him, haka, throwing
and then
him.
I was dodging the punches. I was like running away.
Because you were 16, eh?
Yeah, we had these under 16s, and then they done the haka or the pe'e with the opens men's, and Yeah, it's a good YouTube clip to watch. So,
and that's why there's a rule.
And that's why there's that rule. Do not cross the 40-meter line.
Hey, guys. David Mead here, and you're listening to Nesian Footy.
All right, let's talk the biggest sporting event in the Pacific right now. The PAC Champs Week 2 got underway on the weekend in New Zealand and Suva. Tell us how it went down, T.
Oh, it hurts.
Yeah, look, I didn't. That's what we're here. We're here to cover the big stories.
Yes.
Hard-hitting questions in the Cook Islands.
In Suva, the Batsi Fiji were just too good for the Cook Island A2. You know, 56-6. The Fijians won. Now, 10 tries to one.
Good start, though, from the Cookies.
Well, I thought in the first 10 minutes, you know, we're on. I'm there at the edge
first
of the seat going, oi, we're on it. We're winning momentum. We're putting on shots, forcing some errors. And first try from our hooker, Rua Ngati Kaura. So he dives over, and then I'm like, we're on air. 6-0, 10 minutes. But then from there, it was all Fiji. They just started. It was like the switch just flicked, and yeah, the fire in every Fijian's eyes. They just went at it. Viliami Kikau was headhunting. He was flying out the line trying to put a shot on anyone wearing a Cook Island jersey. But the Fijians had 9 line breaks to the Cook Island 1. Now, in terms of running meters, the top 5 running meters came from Fijian players, and 2 of them had over 200 meters. We had the flying Fijian, Micah Sivor, he had 212 meters. And then you had Tane Milne with 230 meters. I thought their lock, Caleb Navale, he had an outstanding game. The way that he worked in the middle, got them going forward, he had 162 meters as a lock and made 40 tackles in the middle there. So he also played for the Manly Sea Eagles. But one of our friends at 36 years old, he has still got it. Michael Jennings, you know that how many times he's broken defenders' ankles with that left foot step?
Still doing it at that age.
He was doing it at 12 years old for St. Mary's Saints, and he's now doing it at 36. We go shimmy, shimmy, left foot step, ankle breaker, try.
Tackle made only 8 metres out from the goal line. And finally with a ball in the Kumba wide. He plays it, 2 tackles left. Back to the left they go, Nangama. Cut out ball away to Michael Jennings. Jennings will step straight past Wigmore, and he might be over Jennings. He scored the veteran. And they'll love the fact that it was Wigmore who missed the tackle. Try to Jennings, try to Fiji, and they are in front.
And speaking of Micah Sivor, so he ran for over 200 metres. He also, I said last week he was off contract or he got released, and there were some rumours, you know, there might be that Parramatta connection over in the UK.
Arthur.
Well, he had an outstanding game, and he has just signed a 3-year deal at the Leeds Rhinos over in the UK. But
the Leeds what?
Leeds Rhinos.
Oh, Rhinos. Oh, these are Rhinos.
Rhinos.
Is that what you said?
Nah, I think your afro is just covering your ears. But he also killed.
They must be covered all the time because I don't listen well.
But he killed it in this game and also scored a try off of Michael Jennings' assist.
Tangatuamua goes left to Roo. Oh, bang! Brad Takarangi put in his biggest hit in 4 years. And it came on Jordan Miller. 35, make it 25 out from the Fijian line. Now to the left, great offload away. At that time by Tane Milne, streaking downfield, Michael Jennings. Tangatuamua coming across in support. But, he got a pass back to Mike Sivo. And Sivo, he's got a double. 8 minutes, 13 to go, 48-6.
We've heard that chant a few times now. Sivo, Sivo. Brad Takarangi, huge hit, flies out the line. Puts a massive hit, but then, unfortunately, they go on and score their very next play. So the Cook Islands, they head over to PNG, and they will play Papua New Guinea in Port Moresby this weekend. If PNG win, they'll head over. They'll play the promotion relegation game. But if Cook Islands win, Fiji will head over to play that promotion relegation game out of the loser of Australia, New Zealand and Tonga.
I'm putting my house on it. The Cook Islands are not winning in PNG. Is that
have you got any houses left, mate?
I've sold a few. A couple left,
I hope that Drake curse just comes through and you lose the last.
Come on, bro.
Of your
PNG in PNG.
Reece Martin's not playing.
That's all right. They've probably got some other. They've got 400 Rhys Martins.
He's attending Fa'amanu Brown's wedding, which we did not get an invite. So, Nu, if you're listening, we love you and congratulations.
Congratulations, yeah.
Well, in another game, we had the Kiwis versus the Kangaroos in Christchurch. And, you know, the Kangaroos were just too good in this one, winning 22-10. They scored 4 tries to the New Zealand. New Zealand scored 2 tries. I thought it was a very physical and competitive match. You know, the Kiwis had a lot of chances at the Kangaroos try line, but, you know, like the Kangaroos did last week, they defended their heart out and, you know, only limited them to 2 tries. Samoan Kiwi Jermaine Isako managed to score in the corner, you know, off some second phase play from another Samoan, Isaiah Papali'i, with the offload.
Last tackle, Kiwis trailing 6-0 after 26 minutes. Johnson goes to his right to Papali'i, back to Kinney. Quick hands across, Hiku to Isako, and he's over for a remarkable try. That was brilliantly conjured by the Kiwis.
Yeah, I just thought I mentioned Harry Grant last week on Friday, and I thought he was a standout for the Kangaroos. You know, he made 55 tackles, and just his rugby league IQ, you know, understanding when markers are not set, coming out, you know, getting that penalty, or, you know, there was one time he ran down the short side and he, you know, set up a try down that right side. So, you know, it's always handy to have a player like Harry Grant in your team. Now, I know the Kiwis, they're also missing players like Jerome Hughes and Brendan Smith, which I think will help the Kiwis, you know, next year or leading into the World Cup. But, you know, this was all Kangaroos. And this weekend, the New Zealand Kiwis will play Tonga in Auckland, New Zealand. Now, the winner of this game will play Australia in the final next weekend here in Sydney.
There'll be a big sea of red there.
This weekend?
There will be in New Zealand. I guarantee it. Flags will be sold out and they're going to take over Auckland. And Tonga's going to the big dance. Oh, I've gone early twice here on who's winning and who's losing.
Well, the loser actually will play, you know, if PNG win, they'll play PNG if they win. But in another game that was held over the weekend, Samoa played England. Now, Dean Mariner, he scored 2 tries for Tor Samoa. And we also seen Gordon Chan Kum Tong. He made about a 40-metre breakaway, scored underneath the post, but England were too good, winning this game 34-18. They will have another test match this weekend, but I'm sure they will be better, you know, this weekend coming. In other news, Paul Amoti has a contract extension at the Penrith Panthers that will lead to the year 2027, and Ruben Porter and Solomona Fa'atape, both extended their time at the Tigers in signing development contracts. So congratulations to all 3 of them boys. Now remember, you can hear the Pacific Championships live on ABC Radio Australia.
T, take a breath, son. Take a bow as well. Outstanding work. You're heading over to Rugby Union. 1 international fixture played over the weekend. Japan played against the All Blacks in Yokohama. Over in Japan, the All Blacks thumping them 64-19, and there was plenty of Nijan talent on display, scoring plenty of tries. We saw Samoan Patrick Dupolotu, who was a skipper for the All Blacks. I remember last week, too, you referred to, you know, some of the captains that are out there representing and captaining some of the biggest teams in the world at the moment. Patrick Dupolotu led the All Blacks out for that one and scored the first try of the game against Japan, and then fellow Samoan winger Mark Telea and number 8 Wallace Atiti, as well as Pasilio Tosi, flanker Samipeni Finau, also crossed over for the All Blacks. But for Japan, they got off to a flying start. It was actually a tight contest for the first sort of 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Scored the first try, Jone Nakambula, the winger for Japan. He showed some pace to get to the try line. And we also saw Tongans Faulua Makisi and Opeti Helu scoring on debut. We mentioned big Opeti last week, big Tongan front rower. He scored from about 30 metres out. Usually it's those front rower tries just pick and go near the try line. But he's actually just got the ball in midfield about 30 metres out, sliced through this gap, wrong-footed the fullback, and scored over the big man.
Give me some commentary like explain the try, but like you're commentating live.
You want that?
Yeah, yeah. Give us some.
I can't remember the try. No, we don't have long enough. I will though. You can listen to me on the draw stuff. Listen to me six games. I kill it, sort of.
No, I just thought I'd add my voice in there to break it up, you know.
Nah, all good. I appreciate that, T, for coming in there for our rugby union stuff, all over it. But we also saw Fiji and Drua have signed Fijian seven-star and Paris Olympic silver medalist Bonipate Logan Massey on a full-time contract. He made his debut for the National 15 side during the Pacific Nations Cup last year, so he's signed to a full-time contract with the Drua. Great signing. T, guess what position?
Let me guess, outside back.
Absolutely. They are lining up all around Fiji, and you would have seen them last week when you were over there, how many outside backs are just throwing the ball around in the villages. Just absolute naturals. And we also saw Ifiremi Rawaka has been appointed interim head coach for the Fijian Drua for the women for the 2025 Super W season. So he'll be filling in, I'm assuming, with interim. They might be on the job hunt to get someone long-term, but he'll take over for the 2025 season because their preseason is just around the corner. But we also see some good news for the Solomon Islands. The Solomon Island government, with partnership with Oceania Rugby and Solomon Island Rugby Union, they've announced Honiara will host the Oceania Rugby Sevens tournament on December 7th and 8th. First time this tournament has been held outside of Fiji, New Zealand, Australia and Samoa, so they get to host that.
Do you reckon it'll be at that stadium they had the Pacific Games at?
Yeah, absolutely.
The big stadium. Yeah.
Do you reckon they'll go for a pie there? Best pie in
cheesecake. And cheesecake.
And cheesecake. Not bad at that cafe there. Loved it. And in preparation for that, Tonga have announced their new Sevens head coach as well, Afa Pakalani, former Waratah player on the wing. He is taking over as head coach and he's only got about 6 weeks of preparation to choose a side and get him over to that Oceania tournament for his first campaign. So I wish him all the best. He's a great person. Hopefully he can get the job done for the Tongans.
Well done, Sammy. Is that everything for Union?
That is everything. Unless you want to hear my commentary.
No, you're good.
Sweet.
I'm keen to catch up with our good friend, Shelley Long.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
It is great to have you back, Shelley, our PNG Orchids and NRLW player. Shelley, 2 weeks ago you had surgery on the knee. How's it been so far?
Yeah, it's been really good at the moment. The first week was pretty rough, was really sick, didn't really move much. And I was messaging the poor doctor all the time, needing some new medication. But in saying that, like week two, it's looking really good. Saw the surgeon this morning. He's really happy with my range of movement. When they went in for the surgery, though, they did find that I'd done my meniscus as well. So we had to fix that in the surgery, which has pushed, I guess, my rehab a little bit back more than we were hoping.
What's it like being in the bed and being in pain? What's that been like for yourself and watching footy, knowing that you can't really get out there and move?
Oh, it's motivated me a lot, but I think like it's been pretty rough, to be honest. I definitely had some very down days where I realised, you know, that this injury is a long-term injury. It's going to take me a lot of time and a lot of willpower to get myself back out on the field. But I think as well, like, it made me realise that taking things a little bit slower is probably not a bad thing. I get to be more present. I'm at home. I get to be with my family, with my partner more often. So for me, I'm taking a little bit of the positives where I can, but it's definitely been a pretty rough wave to ride.
Was it your hamstring that replaced your ACL?
Yeah, so I ended up getting a hamstring graft because for me, I didn't want that front pain, which a few of my friends have had since having patellar tendon grafts. And I just thought, you know, the other side of my hamstring, I already have a bit, it's a bit weak, so I might as well just strengthen both of them in the same time.
Yeah, nice. And I'm just trying to picture it. So where you took the hamstring out, is it sore there at the moment as well?
You know what? I've actually had very minimal pain in the hamstring. The only time the hamstring really got a bit irritated was trying to go to the toilet because the toilets, I didn't know this, but toilets actually so low, Like when you're trying to sit down, you actually have to use your hamstrings. So that's been really interesting to know.
Oh, it's worse when you go to the other toilets too, when the wall's too close to the toilet, so you don't have that leg room, especially being 6 foot four, and you with your knee.
Hey. And we're not going there.
Oh, mate.
We're not talking about sitting on the toilet.
Why?
You know, on knees and footy. Like she said her bit, but we don't need to hear about your problems. We don't need to hear about your problems.
Oh, this is just a problem in general. No, it's not even an injury. It's just sore and stuff.
It's not even related to her injury. It's just your height and you didn't like, oh, wow.
Anyway, I hope the knees go well.
See, we managed to put a smile on your face, Shelley. So there you go. Well, Pacific Championships, we haven't heard from you in a couple of weeks now. 2 weeks ago, we seen the PNG Orchids have that game against the Gillaroos. Geez, was that tough to watch?
Oh, it was. But I think, you know, the girls tried their hardest, and that's all that matters. But the scoreboard, the scoreline, 84-0, is up. A bit upsetting, but, you know, we're progressing. We've only just started the Women's Cup over in PNG. That's only become a thing this year. So there's still a lot of growth and development in PNG. So ROW players, State of Origin players and previous Gillaroos players in there. I'm proud of the Orchids.
And they play the Kiwi Ferns this weekend. You know, what areas do you think they'll need to improve on if they're going to be competitive?
Well, I think their shape is something that they'll need to work on. If when you watch, I guess, the Fiji Bulacoola, the Cook Island Moana, even any of the other teams, their shape has been amazing. They've got a lot of different plays, whereas I think PNG has always been known to run hard through the middle. And unfortunately, the times have changed where, you know, you have to make defenders question what they're doing, and that comes with having good structure in attack. So I think that's something that the Orchids will work on. But I guess I'm excited to go into camp with them and hopefully help put some stuff into play.
Which player excited you the most, even though there was a big scoreline? Which of the players stood out for you in that game?
For me, the two players that really stood out were S.A. Banu and Sarika Muka, both incredibly talented middle forwards. I think, you know, you look at Sarika Muka's defensive efforts on saving a try off of Yasmin Clydesdale in that game. She'd come from the other side of the field to wrap the ball up. That just goes to show you, like, even though the score is 84-0, the efforts are still there. And S.A. Banu, she was taking three or four carries in a couple of the sets. She was doing a lot of hard work, defensively very good. So they'll take a lot of positives out of having some really strong key players like Sarika Muka and S.A. Banu in the team.
Yes, last week we had the Women's Pacific Championships, another two games, very entertaining ones. Now we'll start with Fiji Bulacoola versus the Cook Islands Moana. First try to Cook Islands, Kere Matua, big second rower. She shows the big left foot, dives over for a try. And then Tale Holmes, their captain, responds, scores through the right next to the post. Now, what moments of these games stood out for you and which players impressed you?
Oh, definitely Vitalina Naikore. She was incredible for the Fiji Bulacoola. She scored a hat-trick in that game. And I think what impresses me most about Vitalina Naikore is that she's still quite fresh to the game of rugby league, but her finishing acts when she's scoring tries is incredible. It's something that the women's game of rugby league has not really seen. You know, there's only several players that can really do that dive into the corner to score those tries. And that's really what I think put the nail in the coffin for the Cook Island Moana, unfortunately, is that her ability to do things that not too many wingers can do.
Yeah, Losana Lotu, also one of the halves for the Bulacoola. She plays for the Tigers. Now, she had two try assists, both to Vitalina. First one was a cutout pass where Vitalina catches it, scores in the corner. But the next one was the crossfield kick where she's had to catch it midair and then run to the corner and, like you said, finish with a try. Now, there was a player that stood out for me for the Cook Islands, though. She was the winger, the number five, Kiara Siowene. Did you Did you see her? She's only 19 years old. She played in the Queensland under-19s. Now, she started on the wing, but then she ended up getting pushed to fullback because of the way that she was carrying the ball and causing some damage. But she will definitely be a player to look out for.
Oh, and I can say about Kiara, she has had an incredible campaign in the Queensland Rugby League women's competition throughout the year. She was incredible for the South Logan Magpies in that competition. She, like you said, T, very hard runner, very strong ball carrier. And I think, you know, give her a couple more games in that Cook Island Moana team and she's going to be incredible for them in the future. So the another key player from the Cook Island Moana was April Nangatapuna. She was insane, very strong defensive player. She was throwing people around, her hard ball carrying. And I think, you know what, it's unfortunate for the Cook Islands, but I definitely think that they're going strength to strength. Their forward pack was insane for them. And, you know, I think they'll learn a lot from that game.
That's right. April was a beast. There was a few times where the Fijian girls were running straight at her and she just boom, whacks them, puts them back on their back. And I'm in my mum's lounge room with my dad and siblings and we're just cheering. Unfortunately, there wasn't just another April on the field that could do the same when she had to come off. But you're right. There's a big, you know, they are moving forward. And but it was good to see also Fiji Bulikula get the win. Vitalina scoring a hat-trick. Let's hear one of her tries.
Two out from the goal line. Two tackles left. Tegan Hardigan comes to the right to Lutu. Dummies goes herself. Off the ground, offloads to Staples. They've got the numbers to the right laying. Links up now with Naya Corey. And she's over for a third try. She's over in the northeast corner. Pentagos says try. And it's now a 12-point lead. 9 minutes 30 to go. Fiji 18, Cook Island 6. And what about this occasion? For Vitalina Nayakore, it's Fiji's first home test in Women's Rugby League since 1998, and she's gone out on the right wing and scored three tries.
Yes, and yesterday we've seen the Kiwi Ferns take on the Gillaroos. The Gillaroos too strong, winning 14-0. What's that out for you in this game, Shelley?
I think it was honestly, for me, the fact that just before halftime, it was still nil all, which goes to show the quality of the game. And that the quality of the game is something that really excited me. I enjoyed watching that game a lot. You know, the Kiwi Ferns, they defended quite a bit on their try line, managed to hold out the Gillaroos for such a long period of time. But it was also Tiana Penatani sealing the first try in the 31st minute of the game to really put the Gillaroos ahead.
3 minutes, 10 left in the half, no score. Big and short from dummy half, goes right, Penatani got through Broughton, through another, Tiani Penatani, she's over to score the try she's been doing all year. For the Sharks, the Blues, and now the Gillaroos, Tiani Penatani scores the try, and the New Zealanders at Bentford not broken, now they break, and it's Australia 4, New Zealand 0, 3 minutes to go in the first half.
Now this weekend we'll see the PNG Orchids take on the Kiwi Ferns in Port Moresby, and this will be before the Cook Islands versus PNG Kumuls. What's the atmosphere going to be like in Port Moresby?
Oh, I think they are going to love having, you know, Cook Islands in PNG and also the Kiwi Ferns over there. I think it'll be a great atmosphere. You know, PNG always know how to show up for the crowd, so it'll be super exciting.
Did I catch you saying earlier that you're going into camp?
Yes, I am going into camp. I fly over to PNG tomorrow morning.
Oh, awesome. And you're just there. Are you doing some coaching with the girls or moral support? What's your role there?
So my role will be... player mentor. So I'll go over there. My role is just to support the girls through whatever they need, whether that's just shape, whether that's just have a chat. It's more just around getting someone, I guess, getting a player in there to help promote a really good atmosphere in the camp.
Mate, it's hard going to the toilet in a normal toilet, but imagine going to the toilet on the plane, like with your knee. Like that's going to be next level there, sitting in that chair. Hopefully the knee holds up all right. But Shelley, as always, we really appreciate your time. It's great to have you back on to talk serious rugby with T and with me, just toilet chat. So all the best and we'll chat to you next week.
Cheers, Shelley.
Thanks, guys.
This is Nijan Footy.
Well, Sammy, here on Nijan Footy, we have more royalty. The most capped Butty Fijian player ever Do you know how many games Kevin De Guama has played?
I think it's in the 20s, isn't it?
24, to be exact.
Jeez, that was a guess, man.
He's also played for a number of NRL and Super League clubs. Do you know what clubs?
Yeah, St. Helens. He's been at the Knights. He's been at the Tigers. Been at the Roosters. Have I missed one?
One NRL and one NRL. Super League. Panthers?
Yeah.
Oh, Penny Panthers.
Yes.
There we go.
And what, did you say Huddersfield?
Yeah, Huddersfield.
St. Helens.
St. Helens. St. Helens. Nah, anyway, let's get into it.
Welcome to Nijan Footy, Kevin De Guama.
Thank you, boys. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you, brother. First of all, we're here, Suva, Fiji, in your camp. What's it been like?
It's a bit different this time around. I think more emotional. You're trying to be present in all the moments on and off the field, just with this being my last camp. You're trying to enjoy this as well. There's a lot of young boys that are coming through and some boys that I've previously played with before in this Fiji Bati camp. So it's really nice to be back with the team and to be picked in this team. It's always an honour and a privilege to wear this jersey and represent the nation of Fiji. So I'm honoured, privileged, a bit overwhelmed with emotion when I got the call, if I'm completely honest. Probably around June when I was in England, I didn't expect to get the call to play for Fiji. So when I received that call, I was shocked as well. Like, I thought that window had passed. And you don't want to stun the growth of the young boys coming through. You don't want to get in the way. So you also want to honour them as well and let them have their time. And I feel like I've had my time, but the coach and the coaching staff saw something in me, and you know, I want to give back to my nation as I have in the past and do them proud.
Well said.
Seems quite fitting that the game is here on home soil for yourself. Whereabouts is your village and hometown from Suva?
Yes, so I'm from Nambuna Koro. It's an island off the mainland, so we're on Viti level at the moment. My island is a 15-hour boat ride from...
15 hours?
Yeah.
That's Tonga.
Yeah. You're pretty much halfway there, really. So it's a long boat ride, but it's a 15-hour boat ride, a little island called Koro in my village, and there's Nambuna.
Have you gone back much?
I haven't been back since I was a baby, so that's something I want to do, but I can't just go. As you know, there's cultural sort of protocols that need to be had, and I have to go with either my dad or a family member from my dad's side to go back to Fiji.
Oh, okay. Why is that? Is that like more of the cultural to welcome you into the
And also there's chiefs to villages as well, so in honouring and respecting them as well.
What's it like representing, you know, such a tiny village in Fiji and the career that you've had? What's that like for you and your family to be able to come from that island and represent them on the big stage?
Yeah, it means the world. It's really hard to put into words. I guess the one word is proud. Like, you just swell up with pride representing your nation and the people. I think it's quite fitting, as you said, being here, getting around it into town and everyone asking for photos. And, you know, for a lot of these people, they do only watch us on TV. So for us to be here and them shaking hands and taking photos, you know, it's putting a lot of smiles on kids' faces and elderly people as well. So it's really nice to see that. I think that's very rewarding for myself and the players as well. And then it strikes a chord deeper within you, knowing that these people are the people that you're representing. You know, they're an extended family. It's a privileged position to be in, to be given this honour. And the players understand that. And we've been talking about that in our devotions in the morning and the night. It almost has that military sort of ring to it. And that's what it is. It's ultimately, we're going into both these test matches is defending your nation at all costs, and whatever it takes, that's what we're willing to do.
Let's go. You made your Bati Fiji debut 15 years ago, 2009. Was that MPNG?
Yes, it was.
Did you play against Cook Islands?
Yes.
Yes.
Were you in that game?
We played the same game, bro.
Same game. Yeah, I remember a few boys, because one of my best mates at the time, I grew up with Daniel Fapulii.
He was your hooker. Yeah, Phipps and Zeno.
Zeno, yeah. So I was talking to them boys. Probably not
15 years ago.
It was a long time, yeah.
MPNG, Port Moresby. MPNG. Yeah. Before the stadium, it was like, I can't remember what the park was called.
The new stadium wasn't there.
People were on the roofs.
Everywhere.
In the trees. And, yeah, I remember when we played, just a heads up, we won that game.
They did.
it's the only one they won. But, jokes.
But we end up playing PNG the next game. But I remember playing that game, and even in our team, there were never any NRL stars. There were never any high-profile players. But then over the years, 15 years now, we've seen the growth of that, and our nation's now
absolutely
being represented by our, you know, highest stars in the NRL and NRLW. How have you seen that? Like, how proud are you to see the growth from 2009 to where they are now?
Oh, mate, it's mega. Like you touched on then, I remember watching my brother play in the 2008 World Cup. I think there were six NRL boys, and the rest were made up from here, local league, like resident boys, like getting the opportunity. And they were just talking about they had their first test match against France in Wollongong, and they were, no one gave them a chance. Like, all these players were playing in the Super League, especially for Catalan Dragons at the time. And these local resident boys, you know, they're not exposed to that type of footy, and they just turned up, man. They turned up, and I think that was the moment that really set the precedent for the trajectory in which rugby league is headed in Fiji. And over the years, we're continuing to build, and players putting their hands up. And as you know, like with the Cook Islands, the more people continue to put their hands up and play for their nations, the stronger rugby league gets. And that's where we are, I think, at this moment in time. You know, we've never been in this position where Pacific Rugby League is at this moment, not only for the men's game, but for the women's game as well. And it's only going to get better. And I think it's players like yourself in the past that have made that sacrifice to play for that nations that it's starting to grow. And it's really nice to see it. Like, I know I'm at the back end of my career, but to see where rugby league is now, I was just telling the younger boys, like, we weren't staying in hotels like this.
Yeah.
We weren't staying in these nice hotels. And this is like with the NRL helping and also stepping in as well. It really provides like a professional environment to give you the best preparation to perform.
Well, you just look over at the team room and you've got ice baths at the front. You've got a massage chair in the middle. You've even got your own barber.
Barber. Your own barber. Fresh rocker. Face.
Man, I know for a fact that wasn't happening in 2009.
That's so,
man.
True.
So the growth has definitely, you know, it's developed, and I love seeing the professionalism being attached to the nations.
Yep.
How have you evolved since 2009, putting on the white jersey for the first time, to now putting it on tomorrow, in terms of like your connection to Fijian culture, the people, and your family? What's changed for yourself in that time frame?
Oh, that's a big question, man, because I feel like that involves so much, like growth from myself. I was only a kid then when I first donned the jersey. I was 19 years old. I'm 35 now. I'm married and I got two young daughters. So there's a lot that's embedded in that growth, if I was to go into that conversation, because what I know now, I can speak in hindsight. And, you know, that goes through. I think that's, for me, there's a lot of adversity that involves that journey to where I am now. Everyone sees you on the TV, but they don't see what happens behind the scenes. And I feel like part of that, it's built my character, that's for sure, in where I am now. But that's been a lot of highs and lows, different seasons. And that's through those seasons, the hardest times is where the biggest growth has come and the biggest lessons.
It's been 15 years, you know, since you made your debut, 24 games for Pati Fiji. What's one moment that really stands out for you, one of your favourite moments in all them camps and games that you've played for Fiji?
Oh, the one that comes to my mind. And it was quite some time ago, but it was the beating New Zealand in the quarterfinal. Every player was in tears, I think. You know what it's like to beat a Tier 1 nation. You're not given any chance. And we're going into that game with the utmost belief in each other. Like, no one believed in us, but we believed in each other that we could get the job done. And no one scored a try in that game. It was 4-2 that game. So it was two penalty goals from us and one from them. And their team was stacked. Like, we did a lot of preparation on them. They had a lot of good players, as New Zealand do every year. And that's one game that will always stick in my mind and is up there with one of my best Fiji Bati rugby league memories.
That's awesome. Huge achievement. And if you can hear the rain behind us.
Yes. It's super weather, man. It's always rain.
Honestly.
I know, it doesn't change. Man, I guess get to see it sort of firsthand, you know, being in the commentary box and watching the Fijian Drua play here in Fiji.
Yes.
And what it means to the people. And, you know, when they beat the sides like the Crusaders and the Hurricanes, it is one of the best things I think I've ever seen in rugby.
Yeah.
Just because of the noise it generates.
Yeah, it's incredible.
We've got someone like Jethro Rinakama coming into his first ever Fiji camp. What type of knowledge have you been able to pass on to the younger players to leave a legacy behind, just the way you have?
Yeah, well, you know, the young players, they're, one thing you get, they're very respectful. I think you get that with all the sort of like Pacific nations. One thing they do, they respect their elders, and they're very quiet and very shy. So you have to go talk to them and sort of like instigate those conversations to get them to come out of their shell. And they have, like, we're day 5 into camp now, day 6, and they're slowly starting to come into camp. But Jeffrey, he honestly reminds me of a young Suliasi Vunivalu, if I to be quite honest. He has that sort of shape to him in how he's built, and that size. And I've actually been playing, hanging out with him at night playing Fortnite on the PlayStation.
But it's been good. No age gap there. Then
yeah, big age gap. But you, to connect with him, you have to sort of come into their world a little bit.
Yes.
But to be fair, I do play a bit of Fortnite, so it works both ways in that sense. Yep. But it's been good to hang out with him. Like these young kids, man. Like one thing I am surprised is how professional they are. We arrived on Sunday morning, so probably 1 a.m. in the morning, and I went and did a bit of extras just to get a bit of the stiffness out in the gym. Like it was a free day for everyone, and I saw about four or five of those young boys in the gym. They weren't even told to do that. They were just off their own bat going to do that themselves, and it just shows the level of professionalism in these young kids, how they prepare now. It's so different. Like back in my day, I never used to do those much extras. I'd probably do it more so now, like I said, with like hindsight of what it takes, and then being older, you just need to do a little more prep outside of what they give you in the schedule.
Yeah, looking at your body, you've obviously let yourself go.
I was about to say the same thing.
Holy.
They would have been, the young boys would have been surprised though, you know, walking into the gym that morning, but then seeing a 35-year-old veteran still ticking boxes, still moving, still lifting weights on their day off. So, you know, you're playing that role and leading the way. But we mentioned Jeffro. Are there any other players that, you know, that will be leading the Fijian Rugby League for the next few years, leading into the next World Cup?
Yeah, I think two players are, obviously they're well known in the Rugby League world, but that's Tui Kamikamida and Billy Kikau there. They're sort of our captains and our co-captains going into this camp, and were there, oh, Kicks missed out, but Tui was that last year, he had that honour. And I think, like, look at Tui's journey. Like, if you were to dig deeper into where he came from, he was born and raised in the islands, in Taviuni. And to see his growth and his journey, you know, it's, you're not really given that much hope when you're coming from Fiji. So to see where he is now and him being the captain of our nation, I think is so fitting. You know, he resonates and relates to a lot of the people here in Fiji, and he really wears that banner and that that role of being captain with his heart on his sleeve. So he's definitely the future leader, and he's in a good system in Melbourne Storm. He's been coached under one of the best coaches in Craig Benalumi, and he's played with Billy Slater, Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk. So, you know, he's taken all of that, and you've got that in our Fiji captain. You know, that's definitely going to breed through to the young players here.
Mm. We talk about the Silk Tails a lot on our show, and obviously there's the results on the field, and I've got no doubt it's disappointing, you know, yep, not to lose, but them playing in a competition in Sydney and seeing how hard it is to play at rugby league, is that helping the growth of the game? Like, by them going over there and playing in a tough competition, and obviously the results are happening that way?
It is, and it also, it's hard. Mm. I wouldn't say it isn't. It is, and it's hard, because obviously the results aren't going the way, and the boys are getting disappointed, as you were. No one likes losing. And it can be disheartening as well when you're not seeing any results go your way, when you're doing the hard yards and you're training and you're putting in the work. So in that part, it's hard. But then also them being exposed to that level of football, it just shows where Australia is in relation to, like, where the development is and where there needs to be growth. I do think that just comes down to, I guess, the money factor. They need sponsorship. They need more money where they can get into to bigger parts of Fiji, and help with the development, help with the coaches. We're slowly heading that way, which is a good start. Like, rugby league didn't have a presence here. As you would know, the rugby union is number one here in Fiji. And
finally,
for now.
You're not taking that, mate. No way.
My mate down there, Tomasi, he said that.
Tomasi's telling you lies. I'm telling you right now.
They love watching league over rugby union. I promise you, he said that. We're going to go meet Tomasi after this.
I promise you now, the drawer is here to stay. Yeah. The Flying Fijians are here to stay. And league, sorry, you can take a back seat, in my humble opinion. But I love watching you guys play, though.
No, and it is, you know what? Like, rugby league's definitely on the rise. Like I said before, it's slowly growing. It's hard because you're all playing for Fiji, like representing the Ngunnawal, the Flying Fijians, and the Fiji Vati. But then everyone sort of is like veering off to the rugby union side. So There's a bit more that needs to be done. I think more in the grassroots football here in Fiji. That's where it starts. I think that's where you need to go after and build academies there, and you will start to see the growth and the trajectory and then making the impact.
Well, speaking of one of the academy centres, just across the road at Albert Park, probably around 4 or 5 o'clock, We watch the boys play one touch over there. It's unbelievable, the skill set. Even this type of weather, sliding, catching miracle balls. When you watch that over there and you've seen it transfer onto the field, like, how does that make you feel when you just go, how does that work out there and then doing it out on the professional stage?
Yeah. Well, I think it just shows, like, they're doing this from when they were, like, 6 years old, man. Like, these guys have been playing that since they were kids. And they finish work, and then they're still in their work kit. They just take their steel cap boots off and they just run around. One touch.
One touch, barefoot.
It's almost like an unspoken language, you know. Like, it's, we speak Fiji in the dialect, but it's like a language that they speak. They can just feel each other. They know where you are, and it's just it just works so organically, and then it transfers to the field. So when they're doing it on the bigger stage in the sevens spectacle and 15 aside, it's because it's what they've been doing before they even got signed to a professional team.
That's why the Fijians are one of the most entertaining teams to watch in both codes, rugby
exactly.
league and rugby.
Not wrong.
One thing I loved about watching you during your international rugby league career representing Fiji and Batu is the pride that you show when you wear the jersey. You know, I can still picture images of, you know, when you're singing the anthem or singing the hymn, and you know, you can see the tears coming down your face.
Beautiful scenes.
It gives me goosebumps thinking about it when I watch it. And what's running through your mind when you are going through that moment where, you know, tears are coming through, the emotions are coming through? What are you thinking about in them times?
Straight away, it's my family. My mum, she went through a lot of sacrifices to be in the position that I'm in, and I think it's so rewarding for your parents when your kids succeed in life. And when I'm there representing her, I know that she's proud of me. And she doesn't necessarily make it to some of the games, but I know she's watching on the TV. And she always says that. And like, for me, I swell up with pride representing my mum, my dad, my sisters, my brother. Like, they're the first people that come into my mind when I'm singing the national anthem, when I'm singing the hymn, and when I'm playing for Fiji. I think of them, and then I think of the extended people. Like, it's not just them now. It's our beloved nation of Fiji. These people here that are playing in the park, like, they'll gather around a TV in a village, 100, 200 strong, watching us and cheering us on. And you want to do them proud, and that's all they want. They want you to just go out there and give it your all, and they'll be proud of the effort that you put in, regardless of the result.
Yeah, nice. Well said. What's next for Kevy, obviously, if this is the last hurrah, last campaign, what's next for yourself?
Well, it's been a quite whirlwind since I've moved from the UK, finishing up in the Super League, and I've sort of just come here and then straight into camp. So I think a bit of reflection. I've been involved in rugby league for 15, 16 years now. Just a bit of time off for the next couple of months as I figure out the next step and transition to this next chapter of life. I really want to just be around my family. I've been away from my family overseas for 2 years, so getting around them, enjoying their company, and just spending some quality time. That's one thing I realized over being in the UK, is like, me being over there, each year that passed, my parents of age and my grandparent as well, my grandma, so I really want to spend this time with them, and my daughters to spend much time with them as well. They spend most of their time abroad. And then just, figuring out what my next step is in relation to what I want to do post-football.
That's awesome, man. I just want to, on behalf of Nijan Footy, myself, Sam, we thank you for your time. We appreciate you, and congratulations on a huge rugby league career, and this being your last international campaign, take it all in, enjoy the moment, and we're supporting you. So thanks, brother.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys. Hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here. God bless.
Much love and respect, bro. I appreciate it.
Nijan Footy with Sam and T. Knowledge.
It is Nijan Knowledge. We get into that point of the show towards the back end where I get to say, finally, I am in front in one of the games, 20.5 to 16.5. T, you weren't here for when I got those points, and you're still not happy about it.
I heard when Will gave you the questions, and he just decided, oh, I'll give you 0.5, half a point if you guess an answer, which we've never done on the show. Reminder:
We've done that plenty of times. We've gone off the cuff, outside the box.
But what's the score?
20.5 to 16.5. I'm in the lead.
Loser has to get a Nijan Footy tattoo on their bum. You're up to ask me 3 questions, and I am already designing this tattoo.
No, you're good. You're good. These are easy ones. These are easy ones.
Oh yeah, the week before.
But they were easy as well.
What's his name? Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, I can't even remember. Tony Bennett or something.
There you go.
PNG first ever PNG coach for the PM's game. There you go, Tony Bennett. That's not him. Anyway, let's go move on to Nisian players. Nisian knowledge. How many Nisian players scored in total for the All Blacks in Japan game? How many players in total?
That is a great question.
Do you want to? I'll say it. Do you want a multiple choice?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it A, 2, B, 4, or C, 8?
Boy, you'll never believe it. During the show, when you were.
You looked at my notes, didn't you?
When you were naming, I put Patrick Tuipulotu or 4 or 5, knowing that this would come back to one of the questions.
Oh, you're smart, eh? He's playing chess, not checkers.
All right, we'll go with 4. Thanks, mate.
Four. Oh, you're going to 4? Oh, sweet. It's 8.
Was it 8?
In total. So you missed the 3 for 5
didn't
for New Zealand.
Only 4?
Yeah, because I knew that you would have been doing that. So that's
wow.
Why I set you up there, son. 3 for Japan and 5 for New Zealand. Opeti Helu, Jone Rakambula. There you go. See? There. Nice, nice. Damn. We're both playing chess here, brother. Yes. Hey, Michael Jennings. Is one of 2 players to represent 3 nations.
One of 2 players.
He's one of 2. Okay. He's represented Fiji, Tonga, and Australia. And Tyson Frizzell was the other one. Over the weekend, what did Michael Jennings become number one in? The first ever to do something after that game, after that performance?
Would it be he scored 2 tries? Did he score 2 tries? I'm just going for my notes.
Come on,
Michael
bro.
Jennings scored.
He became the first player.
Oh, no, he scored 3.
Yep.
First player to score 3 tries for each nation.
Bingo. There we go. Outstanding. That's it. Became the first.
I was hoping you'd say Tyson Arm, who was the other player.
No. He's became the first player to have scored a hat-trick for 3 different nations.
Oh, Tyson Frizzell, when he played for Wales.
You can wait, save that for next week, Nisian knowledge. I've got one more because we're going to run out of time.
No, we've got heaps of time. Well, anyway, I swapped jerseys with Tyson Frizzell, so I got his Wales jersey at home.
Yeah. That's outstanding. Can you bring that in and show me? I'll steal
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Final question. Which year did Michael Jennings score a hat-trick for Tonga?
Oh, that's a good question. Mate, we could be going back, way back.
Could be.
Let's go. What year did he score a hat-trick for Tonga?
Can you talk into the mic, please, mate, so everyone can hear your thoughts?
I have no clue.
I'm not giving you a clue either. I've given you too many today.
When did they make the move? Did Jenko even join that movement with the boys?
Come on, man.
Might be earlier. He might have represented Tonga first.
There's the music. That's and that's our time up for today.
2017.
You're joking. Give me a high five, brother. You got it.
Was it?
Yep, 2017.
Beautiful.
I think it was against Scotland, I think.
2 points.
2 points. Well done, T. What a way to finish. That's our time up for Nisian footy. Remember, you can catch up on all our chats with athletes like Tongan Tegan Dimmick, Cook Islands player Ruben Porter, wherever you get your podcast. Way to finish, T. Great work.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.